Good morning, everyone. It's November already. 2020's flown by, hadn't it? Do you remember when the biggest news story in the world was there was a show on Netflix about a crazy guy who loved tigers? Do you remember that? Does it feel like 10 years ago to you? Do you remember that show? Has so much happened, we just kind of blot that whole memory of the exotic guy out of our mind? Anyway, in November, we usually, towards the end of the month, reflect as a nation upon the idea of giving thanks, of being thankful for the things that we've been given, our nation, our freedom, all those things that are on our minds. And so, to kind of kick off November in somewhat of a positive light, I want to look at a psalm together, Psalm 136. We have talked about this psalm before. If I were to guess, I'd say it's been almost a year. Psalm 136. This is one of those psalms that has a very particular and specific way of tying itself together. We have line A and line B of each of these verses, and line B is the same every single time. And the last time we talked about this psalm together, I did do the service or the favor of making sure we didn't read line B every single time. So I want to kind of repeat that process, because although it's there as a device to remind us of this point in a repetitious way, Psalm 136 begins like this: "Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever." And then verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of gods because his steadfast love endures forever." So you get the theme here. You have something about which we can be thankful to God, and then you have that reminder, because his steadfast love endures forever. And so we are giving thanks to the one who is good, and that love endures for all time. So we kind of see the pattern here developing. So let's look at this psalm together. We'll go through verses 1 through 3 in one kind of section or one chunk, and then we'll kind of go back and look at what we've read together. So again, I'm just going to be reading line B for the very first verse, and then line A from that point forward. You with me? Everybody awake? All right, some smiles, some nods, some embarrassed chuckles, a shiny bald head shaking his head no at me from back there. So that's Eddie, by the way. Okay, "Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of gods." Verse 3, "Give thanks to the Lord of lords." We'll pause there and again look at the line A together and see how it's all connected in the first three verses. If you look in the English, hopefully you're reading it in the English, in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord." That should be smaller font, all capital letters, L-O-R-D, right? Whenever you see that in the English, especially in the Hebrew Bible, we're talking about that word Lord not being Elohim, meaning God. It's not Adonai or Lord in the Greek from the Septuagint. It's the word Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the actual tetragrammaton, the actual wording there of "I am what I am" from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. When Moses asked the name of the Lord that he's going to go redeem the people through his mighty hand from Egypt and bring them to Canaan, he says, "What is your name?" And he says, "I am the L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh or Jehovah," right? So there's the personal name of God that he calls himself. That's so specific, because when you say that we should give thanks to Jehovah or Yahweh or our God, our Father, that's much more specific than just saying thanks to the Lord, right? He's using his personal name that he revealed to his people to identify him above all the other gods that were thought to be existing in the world. So give thanks to the Lord because he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. So of all the supposed gods or rulers out there, this is the God of those gods, if you will. Again, a reminder here that they came from Egypt, and God himself, through the instrument of Moses and Aaron, redeemed the people from that bondage, from that slavery, and he triumphed of all the power of the Egyptian gods that didn't show up to save them in the day. And then verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. That's not all capital letters in your Bible, or at least it shouldn't be. That's the idea of him being our Lord and us being under his rule or dominion or subjection. So we are someone who's subjugated to the ruler, the Lord, that we serve willingly. If we look over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, for example, to kind of connect these two dots for us, Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters. That's the word for Lord there. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon nor money is the idea behind that. You need to be focused singularly on the idea of serving the Lord who is our God. Let's read verses 4 through 9 together as a section. 4 through 9. We're looking for, a word to kind of summarize 1 through 3. We're giving thanks to God because of his character. He's a personal God that loves us. He's the God of all power, and he's our Lord that we willingly serve. Because of his character, we can give thanks unto him. Let's look at verse 4 through 9. To him alone who does great wonders, to him who by understanding made the heavens, to him who spread out the earth above the waters, to him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. So we're looking for a word to kind of summarize that context for us of why we can give thanks to the Lord. It's because of his great creation, right? His character and then his creation. You see a theme developing here with the words, don't you? Hopefully you should by now. And so we find here that the psalmist kind of breaks from the idea of praising God because of who he has revealed himself to be, but just by looking at our physical world, our great creation, we get to see that God is not only intelligent, but he's wise, and he is a loving God that wanted to make a world on which we can live and experience this existence in relative peace, calm, and safety. So you look at the actual words here, who does great wonders. By understanding, he made the heavens. So the heavens here in this context is likely talking about the idea of the sky above us from that perspective. To him who spread out the earth above the water, so our physical creation upon which we walk. To him who made the great lights, talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, right? So Melissa started a wonderful thing with Maddie when she was just a tiny little baby. When we talk about thunder and lightning, how it can kind of be scary, or even fireworks, how that can go off on 4th of July and be, it's kind of scary for a kid. Whenever we see the stars or see the moon or see the sun, she always reminds Maddie that God made those things. And so we were at the park yesterday, and the moon just happened to be visible during the daytime. And so she looked up and saw the moon. She goes, "Oh, the moon! It's not night, but I can see the moon." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, that's great. I'm so glad that you're super stoked about seeing the moon right now. Like, I've seen it a lot, so I'm kind of jaded to that whole process. But for her, it's new and fresh." And she goes, "Yeah, God made the moon. That's what mommy says." And I was like, "Well, mommy's right." So it's just that, from almost a four-year-old, just seeing those wonders in the creation, and you get to kind of marvel at where we actually live. The psalmist here is not taking that for granted. He sees this physical creation as a reason to pause and give thanks to God because that steadfast love he has endures forever. We get to live on this beautiful earth together. If we look over verses 10 through 22, it's a longer section, so bear with me. Verse 10, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon the king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. So we jump back here. We see kind of two major things happening here. The kind of overall theme is the idea of conquest, right? Specifically about the Israelites coming from Egypt through the hand of Pharaoh, and then through these two rulers before they go into the promised land, God's giving them those victories. So that conquest banner is still applicable for us. But we see the redemption from Exodus, the Exodus from Egypt. And then we see them as they're traveling through and being terrified by great established tribes and nations with kings and great armies. God delivers them through that process, right? And so we have here, this is a very specific kind of conquest that God loves Israel, meaning Jacob, and his descendants. He's going to give them a heritage in the promised land. Now, how does it apply to us? Well, if none of that really happened, we'd have a lot of lacking details about the steadfast love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God for Israel, which is a microcosm of the church today. So because Israel was so, or God was so patient with Israel, we see that he loved them, he redeemed them, he remembered them, and brought them through these difficult nations that were already established. That applies to us in a spiritual way. God loved us when we were slaves to sin, not just Egyptian, but we were slaves to Satan himself. And so because we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we get a picture. And so it's very specific here to the Israelites, but also applicable to us. Let's go to verses 23 through 26 together. That's the end of the psalm, by the way. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. So there's that remembrance of where they came from as an Israelite nation. The psalmist here is remembering that heritage from God's salvation from Egypt. But he's also applying it to his own state in that century. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, meaning our pitiful condition. The God that knew that we were going to choose sin over him, but also provided a way for us to be redeemed from that decision of sin, to be adopted into his family through the personhood of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, who rescued us from our foes. The things that are opposed to us, opposed to God's will in this world, God is more powerful than those things. It is he who gives food to all flesh, who cares for his creation, for his children. And finally, give thanks to the God of heaven because his steadfast love endures forever. If we're looking for a banner for these last four verses, it's the idea of care. Care. Over in Psalm 78, verse 38 and 39, it reads this way, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, because he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. I love that passage because it reminds me of exactly what we are. In comparison to God, we're just like a piece of the wind going through just for a moment. You see the effect it has on the trees with the leaves, but it's really insignificant in comparison. But God remembered that that's kind of how we are. We're here for just a moment, and then we pass from this life into eternity. And he's willing to forgive us because his steadfast love endures forever. If anyone has a need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, if something in your life is not right before him, know that he does have that steadfast love that endures forever, but we are not here forever. We have a moment here in this life to examine where we are in light of God's word and to make the necessary changes to be acceptable and pleasing to him by being baptized into Christ, to have that blood wash us away from our sins, and to remain faithful until death we receive that crown of life. If anyone has a need to respond, please do so now as we stand and we sing.